Chapter 19, The Power and the Glory.
With the continuing growth of the towns, the pattern of life in the late 12th century and early 13th was gradually changing from rural to urban.
A result of this was the development of new religious needs. The urban communities had little or no contact with religion until the arrival of the friars.
With Francis of Assisi and Dominic of Spain, the ideal of Christian poverty and the value of itinerant preachers was recognized by the popes, who saw in contrast to this the growing wealth and materialism of the clergy. It was the force of the friars' example that staved off, at least temporarily, schism and secession in the church.
As the bureaucracies of the emergent European nation-states became more complex, another need arose, that for experts in law and administration. And to the throne of Peter came just such a man in Innocent III, first of the lawyer popes. And it was in his pontificate that the temporal power of the papacy touched its zenith.
No sooner had Innocent III taken up residence in the Lateran than he began to put the place in order.
He threw out the money changers who had set up business in a passage near the palace kitchen and sacked most of the porters and janitors who refused to admit anyone to the Pope's presence until they had been tipped.
He set out to raise the standard of the courier and reform the chancery, introducing a fixed scale of fees to combat corruption.
He organized the scriptores as a college, established a controlling office for letters of justice, and regulated the position of the proctors.
3 times a week, he held sittings to judge the various cases which came to him from all parts of the world.
It was said of Innocent III that he came nearest of all the popes towards realizing the theory of papal theocracy held by Nicholas I and Gregory VII. His declaration on empire and papacy is celebrated.
The creator of the universe set up 2 great luminaries in the firmament of heaven, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. In the same way, for the firmament of the universal church, which is spoken of as heaven, he appointed 2 great dignities. The greater to bear rule over souls, those being, as it were, days, the lesser to bear rule over bodies, those being, as it were, nights. These dignities are the pontifical authority and the royal power. Furthermore, the moon derives her light from the sun and is in truth inferior to the sun in both size and quality, in position as well as effect. In the same way, the royal power derives its dignity from the pontifical authority. And the more closely it cleaves to the sphere of that authority, the less is the light with which it is adorned. The further it is removed, the more it increases in splendor.
The most significant single papal event of the time was probably the Fourth Lateran Council, called by Innocent III in November 1215, shortly before his death. Representatives of the spiritual and temporal powers of the whole of Europe and of the Near East were present. There were over 400 bishops and archbishops, and 800 abbots and prelates. St. Francis of Assisi, we're told, was also there. The aims of the council were reform of the church and recovery of the Holy Land from the infidels.
Deploring the scandals dishonouring Christ's flock, Innocent recalled Ezekiel's vision of God, his patience exhausted, crying out to the 6 guardians of the city to destroy it. The Pope addressed the Council Fathers in these words.
And who are the 6 men charged with the divine vengeance? They are you, Fathers of the Council, who with all the arms at your disposal, excommunication, depositions, suspension and interdict, shall smite without pity those unmarked with the atoning cross who persist in dishonoring the city of Christendom.
The Fourth Lateran Council condemned the errors of heretics and strengthened the decrees against them, ordered the setting up of theology schools for priests, clarified the meaning of transubstantiation, instituted the rule of annual confession and communion at Easter, and passed measures to curb the greed of the Roman prelates.
Innocent III rebuilt both the Vatican and Lateran palaces, repaired the walls and roof of the Lateran baptistry, and strengthened with buttresses the walls of the church itself. He also built a tower, the Tor dei Conti, in the Forum area, as a fortification for policing the routes of the papal processions.
The religious life of the 13th century can be said to have survived thanks to the personality and work of two men, Francis of Assisi and Dominic of Spain. Of the Dominicans, it has been said that they provided the intellect and the Franciscans the instinct, which led both movements to universal success.
In the year 1206, two apparently unconnected events took place. In the ruined church of San Damiano, Francis of Assisi heard the figure on the crucifix telling him, "Go, repair my house, which is falling in ruins." And in faraway Montpellier, Dominic of Spain, returning from Rome with his bishop, met three Cistercian abbots who'd been sent by Innocent III to combat the Albigensian heresy.
In that year, decisive for both men, Francis renounced his father and all worldly goods to live according to the form of the Holy Gospel. Dominic saw the Cistercians fail in their mission, for while they surrounded themselves with pomp and splendour, the heretics lived in poverty. So Dominic recruited a few priests, and travelling barefoot and practising rigid penance, the friar-preacher took over the cause.
12 years later, Francis and Dominic met in a Roman street. Dominic had had a dream in which he saw himself presented by the Virgin to our Lord, accompanied by a stranger, who, like himself, was charged with converting the world. When he saw Francis in Rome, Dominic recognized the man of his dream. "Let us be comrades," he said, embracing him, "and nothing on earth can prevail against us." And so it was to be.
At that time, Dominic was the leader of only a handful of preachers, while Francis was the reluctant head of a movement which had already spread to almost every country in Western Europe. The universal appeal of the Franciscans evoked an earlier and much more rapid expansion. But once the special emphasis on converting the Albigensians was abandoned, the centre of Dominican life shifted to the universities, and after the first general chapter at Bologna in 1220, the movement was triumphantly established.
Both orders insisted on poverty, but whereas for Francis it was the end towards which he directed all his effort, for Dominic it was only a channel of communication, with preaching as the main task.
At a second meeting, Dominic suggested to Francis that they join forces, but Francis resisted. Dominic was a born organizer, and the loose Franciscan structure disturbed him. But he loved Francis, and when they separated, asked for his cord as a souvenir, saying to those around him, "I tell you truthfully, there is not a religious who would not profit from following in the footsteps of so holy a man."
Both saints refused the proposal by their friend Cardinal Ugolino, later Gregory IX, that bishops should be chosen from among the friars. But once they were dead, the saints' wishes were disregarded, and Franciscans and Dominicans alike became bishops.